Welcome to the Caltex Theater, a full hour of dramatic entertainment broadcast over a nationwide network of stations throughout Australia. The Caltex Theater is brought to you by Caltex Oil, marketers of over 1,000 outstanding petroleum products, in association with Caltex dealers and distributors everywhere. Tonight you will hear a play specially written for the Caltex Theatre by John Crane. The story of a famous film actress, Margot Shane, and the tragedy that struck her life when she visited the Seven Hills of Rome. Starring in The Seven Hills, you will hear Sheila Sewell. Your producer, Cressick Jenkinson. The Caltex Theatre presents The Seven Hills, Act One.
Richard, give me a light. This damn thing's not working. Richard!
Huh?
I want a light.
The little sign says you're to fasten your safety belt and not smoke, Margot. We'll be landing soon.
I don't care what the little sign says. I'm having another cigarette.
Do you want another fight with the hostess?
Oh, I have.
We'll be out of the plane shortly. You can smoke all you want, though.
Mother?
Oh, yes, Gwen.
Will there be a crowd at the airport?
Oh, I should imagine so. Mother's popular in Italy. My last picture here took in millions of lire.
I understand in Italy these days it takes something like a million lire to buy a pound of butter.
Fancy.
I suppose when we get off the plane, they'll ask you to make speeches and pose for dozens of photographers.
They'd better, darling, or there'll be a whole heap of trouble.
I get so sick of hanging around these hot, musty terminals while you talk to all those press morons. Hours and hours of yak.
There was a time you didn't mind your mother being a movie star. You liked all the fuss and glitter.
There was a time when none of us minded about that.
Anyhow, I'll get through the interviews here as quickly as possible, Gwen. Leave it to me.
Thanks. You're an angel.
It is built on Seven Hills.
What?
Rome. You got the window. You can see for yourself.
When does this thing finally hit the ground? Can we get out yet?
Yes, the door's open now. It looks as though they've got the gangway steps up.
Excuse me, Miss Shane.
Yes?
Mr. Fenlon's asked that you leave the plane first, please.
Go back to Mr. Fenlon and ask him what else did you think would happen.
Yes, Miss Shane, I'll tell him that.
Get up, Richard.
Oh, sorry.
You can carry these bags. I'll take this small one.
Yes, Margot.
Oh, there must be a million people out there by the terminal.
Come away from the window, Gwen. We'll get out now.
It all looks a bit dingy.
The whole idea of coming here to make this picture is dingy. I don't care at all for the prospect of months in Rome eating spaghetti and becoming permeated with the smell of garlic.
You were delighted when Fenlon offered you the part. You couldn't wait to get here.
That was in California. And after looking through that window, it seems to me picture postcards and travel brochures are made up by liars. Let's go. And I can truthfully say to you, ladies and gentlemen of the Italian press, that I have realized the ambition of my life. I'm here in Rome. I've heard so much about this beautiful old city, and now I can see it all for myself. And thank you. Thank you, all you wonderful people, who've given me such a warm, spontaneous welcome. If only I could tell you in words how much it touches my heart.
If only I could tell you in words what it means to me to...
I said touches my heart.
Perhaps even the newspapers thought that just a little too much.
That sort of thing has kept up their circulation and yours. So don't be too distressed about it.
Well, your arrival in Rome seems to have been a great success, Margot. The front page of every edition.
Just as well.
Have you found a drinks cupboard around this apartment yet?
Yes, that thing covered in zebra stripes, to your right. And treated lightly. Have to be sober enough to come out with me later.
You want something?
Whiskey highball.
Mm-hmm. Whiskey highball. Is there a refrigerator in the place?
If you're after ice cubes, there's a freezing compartment in the bottom of the cupboard. Open your eyes!
Found it.
And as soon as you've had that, you better start unpacking your things.
Sam can look after that.
Unfortunately, Sam can't. Sam doesn't know what you want unpacked first and where you want it put.
No, he should. He packed it all and he knows what I need.
Open! Where are the cigarettes?
Before you. Open your eyes.
Now listen to me. I've had just about enough of you, Richard, and from here on there'll be some changes made. I don't have to keep you around me, you know. If you persist with this irritating manner you've developed, I'll see you're not around me any longer. I won't have you getting my nerves all on edge every minute of the day, so I can just cut out this bland bout of boredom that seems to constitute your life and come down to earth. Do you understand?
I'll try that and see if it's too weak.
Do you understand?
Margot, this is a very stale topic for me, and I suppose the only reason you keep on bringing it up is because you know the lines so well.
I'm sick.
Yeah, well, I'm sick of it too, darling. Now, there's a nice, clean wall covered with whiskey and a very pleasant carpet soaking it up. And there's no reason for either piece of damage to have happened. What's more, it doesn't achieve a thing.
This time you can get out. Why should I put up with you any longer? You can get out. See how you like that when you can't sit down all day and drink yourself into a haze? When you haven't a dime to buy even a cup of coffee? See how you like it. This time...
This time, just like every other time, I expect I'll end up getting you some aspirin. And you'll have a nice lie down before we go out.
Oh, you...
What I keep trying to impress on you, Margot, is that all this trouble isn't worth the effort. You don't achieve anything but a lot of unnecessary noise.
Get out! Out!
I haven't any intention of going. And you know quite well I won't go. And you can't afford to have me go, no matter what you might scream. And must we share any further bedlam with the neighbors?
The neighbors can...
All right. I was just thinking what might get into the papers about it. That's better. I'm glad you still realize how dangerous adverse publicity can be to you. Mud in your eye, darling.
So help me, I'll figure out some way.
You figure all you like. Now, as I was saying, adverse publicity. They never bother writing anything about me because I'm nothing, just your husband, nothing. Not with you, it's different. The first lady of filmdom couldn't be accused of screaming at her husband like some regular old fishwife, now could she? And frankly, at the present time, the said first lady couldn't afford a divorce. Now, I'm sorry to have to throw this in your face once more, Margot, but we must always face the facts now, mustn't we?
I've been facing the facts quite a lot lately, and I find the time has arrived when I can do without you.
You might think you can. But you know, without me as your respectable cover, you have a difficult time with your life. For example, who could help you through the difficulties you have every so often with your protégés? All those attractive young men who've been known to turn unaccountably nasty and demanding when you've decided to move on to fresher fields? Who'd be around to say to the colonists, my wife with young Tom, Dick, or Harry, don't be silly, we're devoted to each other. It's strange how you keep forgetting little points like that all the time.
I forget nothing.
Oh, but you do. Now, let's just review things a little more. I first met you 20 years ago, Margot. During these 20 years we've been married, you've done a number of things. You've battled along, treading on everyone's face, placing what money I had in the right places, placing your affections in the right places. Placing everything in the right place so you'd get to the top of the tree and stay there.
I think...
Well, I know what you think, but I'm going on. In your climb to the top, you ruined me. And it doesn't matter much. I was a good director once.
Too sensitive, though. That was my trouble. Far too sensitive. I shouldn't have let it hurt when you booted me in the face during your climbing. However, now you are at the top. You'll probably stay there for a few more years, but... And here we come to the crux of the matter. In the eyes of your fans, you're a good, clean, healthy specimen of married American womanhood. They love you for being that. But they'll only love you as long as they think you are that. It's as simple as that. And here ends the story till the next time.
I'm going to my room.
I'll get you some aspirin.
Don't bother.
And they brought her over here to make this movie. To play a woman who becomes a saint.
Oh. Hello.
Hello, Gwen. I didn't think you'd be back so early.
I got sick of that crumb from the studio. He's about the creepiest car driver I've ever seen.
And did you see much of Rome?
Oh, a few fountains. The Tiber, St. Peter's. Picture book stuff.
Well, you'll get a taste of the nightlife here this evening when we go out.
It'll want to be a lot better than the day life. Where's Mother?
Oh, resting. She was rather tired after the plane trip and then all those interviews.
Oh. What happened over there?
Mother's glass fell against the wall.
Funny way for it to fall, 6 feet up the wall.
Oh, this was a very funny glass.
Why don't you lay off her?
Oh, it wasn't anything really. The conversation just became a little animated.
One of these days she might wake up to herself.
Yeah, one of these days, my dear, all of us might wake up to ourselves.
Yes.
Mind if I come in?
Come in by all means, darling.
They got rid of that stain on the living room carpet.
Good.
You should send that old countess duck the bill to teach her not to throw
Whatever the cleaning cost was worth it. She looks so funny when she's doing it.
That gown's new.
Like it?
Very smart.
It was made by that quaint little man who wears long fingernails and silver bangles. But the cutting and styling's divine. Oh, there's something about the Italian line.
So I've noticed.
That held a rather caustic little note, didn't it?
Sam's just told me there's going to be another few hundred here tonight. I thought it was going to be a small party, some of the cast.
What's wrong with having another big party, for heaven's sake?
I guess maybe I'm getting rather sick of these princes and dukes and things doing the Italian line all over the place at your parties.
But, darling, part of the reason why I give the parties is so you can meet these princes and dukes. I want you to see something of high life and high living people. You know, some very eligible types have been here. And if one of them appealed to you... Well, it's become rather the fashion these days for an American girl to snare a foreign prince.
Not for me.
Don't think I want to force you into anything, Gwen. But if you'd let yourself go, darling, you could have such a wonderful time. Honestly, these parties are more for you than for me. You see, when I was your age... I didn't have any of the things you had. I didn't even know what a decent dress was. But I can make up for the things I missed by seeing that you get them.
Oh, I don't want to complain, Mother. I suppose it sounds as though I am, but I'm not. Not at all. You're absolutely wonderful to me. You've given me everything any girl could ever want, so... So don't take any notice of me. Perhaps it's just that I'm a little jealous of you that I behave like this.
Jealous of me? What on earth are you talking about?
The way you commandeer all the men, for one thing. You might be wanting to get me off with someone, but you don't give me much look.
Oh, what a lot of nonsense.
Well, you don't either. Now, you see tonight. It'll be the same as every other night. I'll spend most of my time trying to make myself understood by some romantic-y old gent. And you'll have every worthwhile male clustered around you.
Oh, my dear child. You're 18. You're attractive. You have a lovely personality. Ah, yes, come in, Sam.
Wrong guess. Try another one.
So you're back.
Yeah, right, second time. You look very attractive. Well, Gwen, so do you.
Thank you.
Well, I had a delightful walk.
How nice.
Yes, really delightful. I went all the way to that big fountain. It's the place where you throw a coin over your shoulder in the water, and that means you return to Rome someday.
It does.
Have you been there yet, Byrne?
Mm-hmm.
And did you throw a coin in the water?
I can't remember. I guess so. Excuse me, I just remembered I have a few things to do outside.
You know, it's a pity when you bore your own child to tears.
Can you blame her for that?
Perhaps not. It's an even greater pity to look at her face and never have her eyes meet yours. To know that she doesn't like you very much.
You're a master of understatement. She can't bear you.
Oh, thanks.
There are people coming tonight. You'd better go and change if you intend making an appearance.
I haven't fallen down to my duty to you yet, Margot. I'll appear.
Talking of duty, you might try to be a little more duty conscious tonight. You might drink less.
My dear, I've been trying to drink less a long time ago. You see, when you have only one thing left in life, your friendly bottle, I'd like to keep it with you for as long as possible. Well, you have your tiresome tales, that's mine. Anyway, you really do look most attractive tonight. You could tone down the makeup, perhaps, but apart from that...
They'll start arriving soon. Would you go and get changed now, please?
Yes.
I have to see whether Sam and the maids have everything in order. Excuse me?
Yes, Margot, you're excused. Oh, where does it end? Where can it? I wish to heaven I knew.
Yes, the picture's going beautifully. But, my dears, I'm here to tell you that you must never, never bathe in milk. They made me do it the other day, and it was revolting. There I was, innocent and unsuspecting, according to the script. Nearly about to be turned into a plaything for one of your nasty old early emperors, and they slopped me all over with this ghastly...
My wife. Oh, yes, a great artist. Wonderful wife and mother. And we've been ideally happy for 20 years. Sam!
Sir?
Another drink.
Yes, sir.
Oh, thanks, Sam. What was I saying? Yes, about my wife. She's doing the arena scene tomorrow, I believe. She's in there all by herself, and they let out a horde of ravenous lions at her.
At least they're supposed to be ravenous. Actually, they're all very old, well-fed, and gummy.
Yeah, I couldn't give a darn about chewing up, I suppose. That's the way they feel. Anyway, it's a pity we haven't got your realistic Italian cinema, huh? Great pity.
Hello.
Hmm? Oh. Hello.
Would you mind if I sat down here with you?
Go ahead.
It's very hot in here. You have the best place in the room, I think. Here, by the window.
Yes, it is cool here.
A nice party.
As parties go.
My name is Vito Lucchese.
I'm Gwenda Castle.
Castle? But I was told you were Margot Shane's daughter.
Shane's my mother's movie name. Her married name is Castle.
Ah, yes, of course. Ah. You're lucky to have a mother like that. Look at her over there now. She could be your sister.
She'll never grow old.
Mm. You like Rome?
What I've seen of it.
What you have seen of it? But you have been here for nearly a month, haven't you? And you haven't seen all of it yet?
Well, I don't know anyone but the studio people here. And when I go out sightseeing, it's with someone from publicity or accounts or something. They don't know anything much. They don't know where to go.
I see.
Mother's busy all day, of course, and my father's usually away somewhere or other. And it's not much fun going up by yourself, so you wait till one of the studio characters can trudge around with you and... and that's worse than not going out at all.
In that case, if you want to see something more of our city, you must let me take you out sometime.
Why, thank you. Yes, I'd like that. That's very kind of you.
Such a ready acceptance of my offer. I feel we should make it soon. What about tomorrow?
Oh, it's all right with me. But don't you have to work?
Not tomorrow. We could go for a drive somewhere, make a day of it.
It sounds wonderful. As long as you're sure it's not going to put you to any trouble.
Trouble? Showing you wrong? I could never imagine that to be any trouble. I could only imagine it to be very pleasant.
Oh, so here you are, Gwen.
I've just been talking to Vito. You know him, I suppose.
No. I never seem to meet more than half the people at my parties. How do you do?
Signora?
Gwen, I was after you to see if you wouldn't mind helping Sam and the girls organize a little more food, but as you're tied up here...
It's all right, Mother. I'll go.
But, darling...
Take a minute. Honestly, I don't mind.
Oh, that's sweet of you, dear. Would you excuse her for a moment, Mr...
Lucchese.
Yes.
I won't be long.
Thank you, darling. You're a newcomer.
Pardon.
You haven't been to any of my parties before, and... I haven't seen you anywhere else since I've been in Rome.
We've both been guests at the same places on a few occasions, but you haven't noticed me.
Strange.
It's quite true, of course, that I haven't been here to your place before. Gina Strauss asked me to come along tonight in her party.
I see.
I was wondering if you would talk to me tonight.
Why?
I was hoping I might meet you sometime during your stay in Rome. I've always been a great admirer of yours, of your work.
How nice of you to say that.
When I've sat in a cinema, watching you in a film, I've often wondered what sort of woman you really were when you weren't acting a part.
Now you know.
Superficially.
You speak very good English.
I find it painful.
Later, when you finish talking to Gwen, you might like to have a quiet drink with me?
Oh, yes. I would like that very much. As requested, here I am.
Have enough for Gwen?
She had to go back to the kitchen to help. You promised me a drink?
Oh, help yourself. If you're drinking champagne, that bottle's just been opened.
Ah, thank you.
What do you do, Vito?
You mean work?
Uh-huh.
Nothing. I have a small private income. Very small. Cigarette?
You managed to dress expensively on it. And this cigarette case looks like 18 karat gold.
It is. So is the lighter.
You must save carefully.
I have some generous friends.
There's nothing very subtle about you, is there?
Subtlety is a luxury few of us can afford, Miss...
Margot.
These days, when it takes a fortune to live decently, subtlety is a forgotten quantity. People must establish quickly what they want and get it, if they can.
You run a car?
Yes.
What kind?
Alfa Romeo.
Latest model?
Of course.
Yes, of course.
I suppose you're working tomorrow.
Yes, why?
I've offered to take your daughter for a drive around the city. I thought you might join us if you were free.
Some other time.
You will appreciate the reason why I paid so much attention to your daughter tonight.
I can think of several reasons.
I thought that if I talked to her long enough, you might notice me. And I also thought that once you did notice me, you'd undoubtedly come over to meet me.
Mm-hmm. Modest lad.
Well, I was right, wasn't I?
So you were. Shall we go out to the balcony?
How well will we get to know each other, Margot?
I should say, very well. Yes, very well indeed.
And so the curtain falls on Act One of tonight's Caltex play, The Seven Hills.
Anywhere you care to travel, motorists agree.
Motorists agree that Caltech's butane-boosted gasolines take better care of your car's performance. You get faster starts, smoother acceleration, more economical running. Change to Caltech's butane-boosted gasoline and feel the difference. The Caltech Theater now presents Sheila Sewell in The Seven Hills, Act Two.
I've been thinking, Vito. I needn't necessarily be working all day tomorrow. I could probably be finished quite early.
Where will I meet you?
Say the Romana Bach fire.
I'll be there.
You better go inside now. We've been out here on this balcony for far too long.
Very well. Till tomorrow night, Marco.
Rome? You're getting to be a nicer place by the minute.
You can say much the same about the people.
I wish to heaven you'd get out of this habit of creeping around, scaring the wits out of me.
You creeps, my dears. You learns.
Don't stand to me the edge of the railing, you'll fall over.
As much as you might wish it, unfortunately, no. My hand may not be steady, but I have perfect control of my legs and feet.
Come back inside.
In a moment. We've been out here for so long now, a few more minutes will make any difference.
You can stay out here if you want.
I venture to say that he'd be about the best looking of the bunch today. Wouldn't you say that?
If you're implying...
I am.
Well, you can...
It may not be apparent to anyone else. But to me, it's obvious he's the next one to go on the payroll.
So that's obvious to you, is it? Oh, you drunken slob. If you
won't... Spare me the usual big denial.
Oh!
And as for the fact that he's the best looking, dearie, up goes the cost. Bankruptcy material, if ever I saw it, old girl. And we'll all starve, the whole pack of us. We'll all starve. Milk her for every cent she has. Oh, it's a dreadful thing when a middle aged woman can't resist a young man. Not only dreadful, it's shameful. Shameful. And what's just as shameful, you, Richard, old boy, you let her get away with it.
And though you kill me now, you will never destroy my soul. In my heart, Oh, damn!
Cut! Margot, how many more times do we have to try it? Why don't you?
Why don't you?
It's not a hard scene, Margot. You should know the lines. You should remember them. We should have done this scene in one take. We're way behind schedule now through all these blow-ups. This last week, you've been absolutely...
No!
Margot! Margot, come back here!
Go away. Whoever it is, I don't want to see you. Go away and leave me alone.
Margot, it's Fenlon here. Jed Fenlon. Let me in.
I'm not seeing anyone.
Margot, you must let me in. I must talk to you.
I told you. Oh, just a minute.
Thank you. What are you doing?
What does it look like? I'm changing. I've had enough of that set out there for one day. Enough to last me the rest of my life when it comes to that.
What's happened to you, Margot? You've never blown up like this before, but for the last few days, the last
week... I know what I've been like this last week.
Do you realize your performance has gone right down the drain? Do you realize that... Margot, what is the matter with
you? It's none of your business.
But that's just the point. It is. It's very much my business. You know how much money I've invested in this picture? You know what it costs to keep that arena full of extras waiting around for you? Every take you muff... Have you any idea just how many dollars I lose every time a take has to be written off?
I'm sorry.
I don't want you to tell me you're sorry. I want you to tell me what's the matter with you so we can do something about it. Are you sick? Do you want doctors? I'll get the best doctors in Rome.
I'll be all right tomorrow.
That's what you've been saying for the last week. You can't go on being all right tomorrow forever.
I am sorry, Jed. I know what this is costing you. Of course I do, but I promise I'll be all right by tomorrow morning. My nerves are a bit ragged, that's all. I haven't been sleeping very well, but everything will be all right.
Is it anything to do with this young man?
What do you mean?
I know you've been seeing him. That's your business, of course, as long as you keep it covered
Who's
up.
Who's been talking to you? Has Richard...
Richard hasn't said a word to me about it. Credit me with a little intelligence. No one else might know about it, but I do. And I don't care how often you see him, as long as there's no adverse publicity. And more importantly, as long as it doesn't interfere with your work. That is it, isn't it, Margot? You can't concentrate on your work because he's your main thought. You're too tired to concentrate because you haven't been getting the sleep you need.
That's enough, Jed.
Not quite. I've got an ultimatum for you, Margot. Your usual quality of work tomorrow or you're out.
What?
I'm sorry, but I mean it. If you can't work properly, it'll be a far safer thing for me to scrap all the scenes you've made and start again with another star.
I've got a contract.
You'll be paid in full. But it'll be the last contract you'll have from me. And I believe there's a certain saying in this business. Once you're out with Jed Fenlon, you're out with the entire industry. Right?
You couldn't sack me.
It's entirely up to you. A good day's work tomorrow or else. You can have the rest of the day off. I'll see you on the set tomorrow morning at 8.
Sack me, who's he think he is? Vito, it's Margot here.
Oh, yes, Margot.
I'm ringing because Vito, I'm not feeling well. I'm tired, upset. I've had the most frightful day here at the studio.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yes, well, about tonight. Would you mind if I didn't see you? I'd like to go straight home to bed, get some sleep. I'll have to, I'm afraid. I need sleep badly. Perhaps we could make it tomorrow night?
Of course.
The usual place, about 8:30?
Yes.
All right, darling. Till then. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, Gwen. Didn't think I'd find you here.
I thought you weren't coming home till 6.
Oh, it's too hot out. I decided to be much cooler here. Well, what's going on here?
You're
going somewhere? Traveling bags packed and a note? You're writing a note to us?
To Mother. To explain.
To explain what?
I prefer not to discuss it with you. Mother can read about it when she...
Give me that.
It's not for you. Don't you read it.
Oh, you crazy little fool.
I said it's nothing for you to...
Do you realize what you're doing?
Yes, I know full well what I'm
marrying
doing.
Marrying him? That...
I love him. He loves me. He's asked me to marry him, and I've accepted. We're leaving straight away for Naples. We're going to be married there.
But you, for heaven's sake, girl, you don't know what he is, you...
I know what you are, and that's more important. And I want to get away from you. I can't bear being near you another
second. You're marrying that slimy little gigolo just to get away from me.
How dare you call him that? How dare you?
I dare, because that's all he is. Here. Oh, Gwenda.
Now, listen to me. You can tell Mother this. Tell her that Vito and I are getting married. Tonight.
Hello, Margot.
What are you doing, sitting here with all the lights on?
I didn't really feel like having lights on.
The atmosphere in this place is like a morgue.
Yeah. You're home early?
Yes, I'm going straight to bed. Ask Sam to bring me in something on a tray later, will you?
Just before you go.
Oh, what is it?
I'm sure you'll be interested to hear this. Gwen isn't with us anymore.
What are you talking about?
She's run off to marry Vito.
What did you say?
I used most of it on a note she was writing for you. The rest of it, I can tell you.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it is a shock, isn't it? It bowled me over, I don't mind telling you. Your Vito's been playing the cutest double game, stringing along mother and daughter, discarding the mother to marry the daughter. Oh, very cute.
He won't do this to me.
He's already done it. I imagine they're on their way to Naples by now. She's taken all the jewelry, looked in her room, everything that has any value. I expect she's also drawn all her money out of the bank. Vito would see to that. Well, he's a shrewd one, all right. Knowing he'd get so much more out of the daughter.
Shut up. Shut up and let me think.
You think all you like, but I'm afraid it won't get you far.
Why didn't you stop her?
Oh, how could I? You know how much notice she'd take of me.
Oh, you.
And although I hate to say it, Margot, I did tell you this Vito would prove to be the most expensive of them all. Now, didn't I? I know you assess your daughter's value at a pretty high level. You really should have listened to me for a change and told him to go jump in the Tiber. Hear what I said?
I heard.
It's all another illustration of what I've been trying to tell you for years. You just can't trust these Vito types. They'll get what they want out of you for as long as it suits them. Then, when they feel like dropping you, plunk. You're dropped flat on your face. Vito's made a neat nest egg out of you, I've no doubt. How much have you given him?
Enough.
Yeah. Well, can't you see how his mind's been working all along? Get what I can out of the old girl.
All right, I don't have to say anymore.
Then when the time's right, I dump her and get something young and fresh in the daughter. Plus, all the daughter's loot. What more could any self-respecting kept boy want?
Shut up! For the love of heaven, shut up!
What do you have in mind to do now?
Find them.
Oh, what'll that do?
Get things on the right footing.
I see. Well, make sure you don't do anything foolish.
Such as?
Oh, I don't know. Let's face it, Margot. You're capable of anything. You barge in where angels would think twice about treading. You play the merry devil, then realize when you've exhausted yourself that you've done the wrong thing. I'm anxious that you shouldn't do the wrong thing as far as Gwen is concerned.
I won't. Whatever I do, it won't be the wrong thing.
Well, strangely enough, you know, I'm still most considerate about you, Margot. Even though you don't think so. And I'm also considerate about Gwen, even though she loathes me. I don't want Gwen to find out what sort of mother she has. For her sake and yours. And it'd kill her if she knew that you were just a...
Stop it! Stop!
Sorry if my words sting you. But here, once more, we are forced to face facts. If you were allowed to confront Gwen and Vito all by yourself, I can imagine the things you'd say. You'd call him every name under the sun. He'd call you a few in return, and out of the sordid screaming would come one ugly fact to send your daughter reeling, that you and Vito...
I'll tell her that and plenty more if I have to. I don't care what I'm forced to say, as long as she doesn't marry that greasy little...
And have her hate you, too. I tell you, Margot, it isn't pleasant to have your own child hate you. And I know that from long and bitter experience. I'm able to endure it now, but you couldn't. No, you couldn't.
She won't hate me. She's
you
always...
think so? Margot, you can be such a blind, obstinate fool. Look, you have one decent thing in your life. That's your love for your daughter. But shock her. Tell her the truth about yourself. Make her reject the love you have for her and...
Spare me any more of this sort of talk. I don't need any advice from you.
All right. All right.
I just want to get some more money and a few things together, then I'm going to Naples. I don't care if I have to search every inch of the place. I'll find them, and when I
What about your work? Aren't you supposed to be shooting tomorrow?
I'll be back in time.
Oh, dear.
Where are you going?
To get my coat. I'm coming with you. I can't trust you to go alone.
No, I don't want you with me.
Margot, try using a little...
You're staying here. I don't want you with me.
I'm supposed to stay here and await your return, right?
Right.
And cover up for you if anyone should want you tonight. Say you're in bed asleep and can't be disturbed or some such...
You're catching on.
Oh, more than you think.
What?
I don't know how you're going to react to this. It might amuse you or scare you. I don't know which.
What are you talking
about? The end of the line, Margot. That's what I'm talking about. I've come to the end of the line.
What the...
Oh, now things brew for years and suddenly boil over. They boil over now. I've become so sick of you and everything you are. I can't bear it any longer.
You...
I used to pity you, you know. But until a short time ago, pity...
But now I've decided you can put up with a lot of things for a long time. You can let it float around you until they build up a sort of cocoon about you, but at some time or other it seems you have to break out of that cocoon and flutter your wings into the light. I'm leaving you, Margot.
Really?
It's quite a reversal of form, I admit, but it's happened. We've staggered along together all these years, living, well, you know, you couldn't call it a life. Heaven alone knows what you could call it. You've kept me in my pleasant, deadening haze. I've given you a respectable cover. We've kidded the world and ourselves all along the way.
You don't know what you're
saying. So it scares you, huh? Well, to tell you the truth, I'm a little scared about it, too. But I'm not going to let my fear prevent me from leaving. Maybe we'll see each other around sometime. Maybe not. Who knows what's going to happen now? Goodbye.
Richard.
It's all been said. No more words needed. Goodbye.
Vito. Oh, please don't be angry with me. Please.
Sure.
I had to do it. I couldn't run off without letting Mother know what was happening. She'd worry herself sick if I disappeared. If she didn't know where I was going, what else?
I told you that under no circumstances were you to give your parents any idea of what was happening.
I know, yes, I know. But when it came to leaving, I just couldn't do it. I was writing the note, then my father
you
came
You already told me what happened half a dozen times.
I can't understand why you're so annoyed. There's nothing wrong with letting Mother know.
The point is, I told you not to do it.
But, Vito, you must try to
understand. I told you not to do it. This will cause all the trouble in the world now. All the trouble that could well have been avoided if you'd only had enough sense to do what I asked. Oh, Gwen. Gwen, don't cry. I'm sorry. Come on, dry your eyes.
How can I help crying with you?
Ah, yes, I know, but... I shouldn't have spoken to you like that. I'm very sorry, losing my temper. Forgive me, Gwen. It'll never happen again. Come on. Here. Use this handkerchief. Dry your eyes.
I don't want to do anything to cause rows, Vito. The last thing I want is trouble. There's been so much trouble between my mother and father all through my life that I just hate trouble of any sort now. But I had to let Mother know. Regardless of what you say, she had to know.
Oh, yes, yes, you had to let her know. You see, it's just that I love you so much and want so desperately to marry you, Gwen, that I... Well, as we've known each other for such a short time, I thought your parents might try to stop our marriage. That's the only reason I asked that everything be kept secret.
For heaven's sake, Mother wouldn't try to stop my marriage. As long as she knew I was truly in love, which I am.
Your mother's the one I'm afraid of.
What?
Not your father. He... Well, I can't see that he'd be any obstacle at all, but your mother...
But Vito...
Yes, I know what you think, but I have my own ideas about your mother. Mothers don't like their daughters eloping with men they know only slightly.
She'll understand when she hears about it.
Yes, when she hears about it. Time. Yes, I suppose she'd be home by now.
Oh, I shouldn't think so. She was supposed to be at the studio today.
I believe they finished early today. A friend of mine working on the film rang me and said there'd been some holdups.
Oh?
Yes, she would be back at the apartment by now. She'd know by now. Get your coat on.
What?
Your coat. Come on, quickly. We're leaving now.
But
there's no time to argue about it, Gwen. If we leave straight away, we can be in Naples in a couple of hours if we have a clear run. I'll take these bags down to the car.
But Vito...
Please, no more questions, no more discussion. Just do as I say. We are leaving here now. What's...
Mother!
So you're still here, Gwen? I thought I'd better check here at Vito's apartment before taking off to Naples. How wise of me to do so, as it's turned out,
Mother.
Margot, what do
you're
you...
You're going to invite your future mother-in-law in, aren't you, Vito? Or is it future? Are you married already?
We haven't been married yet, Mother.
Good.
Darling, I'm sorry. Oh, I could kick myself. I can see now what a dreadful mistake I made.
You can? Bag's all packed to go, huh? It looks like I arrived here just in time, eh, Vito?
I shouldn't have kept it a secret from you. I should have. Oh, Vito, look at her. Look at her face. I should have told her. Darling, I'm sorry I've worried you so much.
You were asked to look at my face, Vito. Why won't you?
Mother, he thought you might try to prevent our marriage.
So he thought that, did he? Well, well.
Gwen and I love each other, Marco. I've asked her to marry me, and she's accepted. Oh, you can stop us if you want to, I suppose, but I want you to understand.
I understand everything. You two bitch. Chisler.
Marco, you're an intelligent and reasonable woman. You should be able to understand.
I told you I understand everything. You saw how I came in, Gwen? I put a key in the lock, opened the door, and walked straight in. Vito gave me this latchkey some time ago. Thank you, Vito, but I won't be needing it anymore.
What?
You're puzzled, darling. Did you know Vito was in love with me, too?
Marco, I won't let you...
I think it was quite a different love from what he's obviously said he feels for you. Our love was on a highly practical basis, whereas yours, I imagine, is rather on the idealistic spiritual plane.
Marco!
Be quiet! I can see you prompted to say something, Gwen. What is it? Can't get it out? All right. Just sit there and listen to me.
Don't take any notice of her, Gwen. And Margot, you can get out of here. Go on, get out.
Not yet, little man.
If you don't get out...
I'll go when it suits me. Look at him, Gwen. I expect you know something about characters like this. You've probably read about them from time to time. You've probably even met a couple who skip around back home. But this Vito is the kingpin of them all.
Gwen.
He's so low, darling. Just so low.
Gwen, don't listen to her. She doesn't know what she'll say.
Doesn't she? I wonder what you think he can give you, Gwen. Let me tell you, it'll be very little, if anything at all. Because everything about him has already been bought by others.
I don't have to take this from you.
In the future, you don't take anything from me. Come on, darling. We're leaving. We go back to our apartment.
I won't let you take her away from me. Get behind me, Gwen. Don't be such a fool. Put that gun away. Or better still, give it to me.
Don't worry, I'll give it to you if you don't stand aside.
Mother, what's happened to you? These fantastic things you've said about Vito yourself.
They're not true, Gwen.
I know they're not true.
Brenda!
There, Margot, you see, she knows.
Brenda, you come with me.
How could you say things like that, Mother? Such vile things, such lies.
So you think I'm lying? I can prove to you that
I don't want to hear any more of this. Any more of these terrible accusations.
Gwen, don't go near her. She is...
You give me that gun, Mother. Then I think you'd better go.
I tell you, I can prove what! Look here, Gwen. You must leave here with me. I'm not going to walk away and leave you to a sort of life that is sort of life. I love you, darling. I'm going to protect you.
Give me that gun.
No!
Gwen, don't struggle with me! Gwen!
Oh, Mother.
You've killed her. Killed your own daughter. You know what they'll do to you for this.
You did it. You're the one who killed her. If she hadn't listened to you, this wouldn't have happened. You're the one responsible for it. Murderer!
Gwen.
What are you doing here?
Just waiting. Watching over you, I suppose you could say, like I used to when you were a little girl. I've been thinking, sitting here looking at you, thinking how you were still like that little girl I used to know when you were asleep. How do you feel, Gwen?
All right.
Fortunately, there was no great damage done. They say you'll be able to leave hospital in a week or so. I'm going back to America when you're well again. I've been offered a job. Strange, perhaps, that anyone should offer me a job now, but true. And a good job, too. Directing again for Jed Fenlon. Jed's been very kind over these last few days.
Oh, you wouldn't know anything about these last few days, of course. They've kept you under dope. Everything's changed around a lot, Gwen. I'd like to think you might come back home with me. You see, your father's found himself after all these years. A trite thing to say, I suppose, but realities are usually rather trite, aren't they?
Vito.
Vito is dead.
I see.
I got there to the apartment just after it happened. Before he died, he told me you knew everything about him and your mother. Everything like that. Yes, it was all true, everything your mother said. She's been a very confused woman for many years about people like Vito and that sort of thing.
What's happened to her?
She'll have to stay here. They've put her into a hospital. She needs a great deal of treatment.
Oh, how ghastly. Ghastly.
Yes, I'm afraid it is.
And all these years, you've known about these other men and...
Oh, she needed me. In a sort of way. And I needed her. It was a rather complex arrangement. I don't think I could explain it to you very well.
Father, I'm sorry for the way I treated you.
Oh, I deserved it. Most of it.
I want to go back home with you.
Oh, yes, Gwen. Things will be very different when we get back home. We can make a fresh start.
Could I see her before we leave here?
Well, I don't think there'd be any point in that.
I want to. Please.
Very well, if you feel you must. We'll go to see her before we leave. Margot, do you see who I have with me?
Why, yes, I remember you. You've always written such nice things about me. I'm always glad to give you an interview.
Mother.
Oh, yes, I am a mother. And if I say so myself, I think a very good one. My daughter and my husband are the most important things in my life, you know. We're a very closely knit family. We all adore each other. My family first, my work second. That's my motto. The best motto any actress could have, too, my dear.
Take me away from here. Please, quickly.
Goodbye, Margot.
Going now. Goodbye. So nice to see you again, Miss... Yes, I'm ready to go on the set now. Let me see. Hair. Face. Yes. Yes, coming. And though you kill me now, you will never destroy my soul. In my heart, I have a belief that is greater than yours. Greater than the cities of your empire. Greater than all.
So ends our Caltex play, The Seven Hills. In a moment, we will give you tonight's cast and tell you about next week's presentation in the Caltex Theater. Ladies and gentlemen, the producer of tonight's Caltex play, Cressick Jenkinson.
Thank you. The Seven Hills was an original radio script written by John Crane. In the starring role you heard...
I played Margot Shane.
This was Sheila Sewell. The supporting cast was as follows. Richard, Keith Buckley. Gwenda, Patty Crocker. Vito, Walter Sullivan. Fenlon, Wayne Paulson.
Thank you, Mr. Jenkinson. Now this is your compere, Rick Hutton, bidding you good night on behalf of your hosts,
Caltex Oil, marketers of Caltex Super Gasoline and Caltex Gasoline, the world-famous RPM 1030 Special Motor Oil, and Marfac Lubrication.